But let us turn again to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4. Gospel of Mark chapter 4, and we shall take for our text verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. The hearing of the word of God is of vital importance. And we can never be too often reminded of this truth, of the great importance of the hearing of the word of God. In verse 23 of our chapter, we read, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." It's that important that without the hearing of the word of God, ordinarily, there will be no salvation for the soul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how important the preaching of the word of God is. And equally important then is how we hear that word preached, or how we receive that word preached. If we think of the illustration of one who is ill, and they are ill because of the lifestyle in which they live. And they're sitting with the doctor, and the doctor gives them the diagnosis. And unless they take heed of his diagnosis, they will surely die. How would one then receive that word? Ordinarily, even the men of the world, if they receive such a diagnosis from a doctor, they take heed of that which they hear. It is a matter of life or death for them. But what about the word that deals with eternal matters? The word of God that sets before the hearer not only matters of life and death, but matters of an eternal significance, of an eternal importance. The word of God, dear friends, is the instrument in the hand of Christ. Christ is the sower of the seed. He is the sower of the word of God. And this is a largely forgotten truth today, that the word of God is that instrument in the hand of Christ whereby, by his word and spirit, he subdues his people unto himself. As this is a forgotten truth, therefore, so is the importance in how we hear or receive the word of God. This is a forgotten truth as well, even by those who sit under the word of God week after week. You know, on the day of judgment, we will give an account not only for every idle word, but we will give an account for every word that we heard preached. One Puritan remarked that the day of judgment was a day when lost sermons must be accounted for. Lost sermons must be accounted for. What must he mean by a lost sermon? A sermon that was not heard properly or rightly received. So then the question for us to ask ourselves is, how then do we hear the word of God? How do we receive the word of God? And we're going to use this parable of the sower in order to determine within our own hearts. Let us all examine our own hearts to see how we hear or receive this word. Well, firstly then, let us note the sower and the seed. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower is the preacher who goes forth to preach the word. Now, who is this sower here that Christ is speaking of? Well, when we consider the parable of the tares Matthew 13:37, Christ tells us who this sower is. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Christ, dear friends, is the preacher. He was the preacher during his ministry. Think even of the book of Mark. Book of Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ came preaching. And we read something significant in verse 38 of Mark chapter 1. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Now that's quite interesting. Therefore came I forth. When we think of the reason why Christ came forth, primarily we always think of his sacrificial death on the cross, and rightly so. But here Christ also tells us that he came to preach the word of the kingdom. But not only during his public ministry, but also before and after his public ministry. What do I mean? Well, by virtue of Christ's office of prophet. We read, don't we, in 1 Peter chapter 1, of how this by the Spirit of Christ, he spoke through the prophets. He sent the prophets out to preach his word. So the Spirit of Christ, even before the incarnation, set out prophets, preaching the word in the old administration. And also, he sent his disciples out, remember. Mark 3, in verse 14, we read, And he ordained the 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to do what? To send them forth to preach. And we say then still today, as the sole head and king of the church, he who gives gifts unto men, still through the ministers of the church, preachers of the gospel, he sows his seed. Christ alone then is the one who sows the seed. And the instrument in his hand, the instruments in his hand are no more than that. They are instruments. They are old clay pots that are sent out. We took note of the prophet this morning that was sent before Gideon in Judges chapter 6. We spoke of the instrument of God being the Midianites in the oppression of Israel. But this prophet also was an instrument in the hand of God. He was sent to preach unto the children of Israel. But instruments and nothing else. The fact is, dear friends, that Christ is always the sower in the kingdom of which he is Lord. Now we note the authority of Christ in verse 41 of this chapter 4. Even the wind and the seas obey his word, the authority of his word. And we took note of his commanding urgency in verse 3. Hearken, behold, he's commanding these people to hear, to listen that which he is about to say. So he has authority and he has commanding urgency. And there is a tireless perpetuity of action here in verse 14. The sower continues to sow the word. The sowing of the word of God is ongoing despite the reception of that word. This is the wonderful thing. The word continues to be preached. No matter the reception of it, the sower and the seed. Well, secondly, let us notice the soil and the seed. The soil and the seed. We should notice here that although there are four soils mentioned, there are only really two categories of soil. There is the prepared soil and the unprepared soil. There are three soils unprepared: the hard soil, the rocky soil, and the thorny soil. And you know, each of these soils deserve a sermon in and off of themselves, but time does not permit us. What do these soils symbolize? They are symbolizing here the misery of the fall of our first parents. One writer remarks, there was no fruitless labor before the fall, but now thorns, thistles, and wilted plants all attest to the fact that the heart of man itself has become an unproductive field with respect to the Lord. It is because of the fall of our first parents. What does Romans 3 tell us? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all fallen sons of Adam. And all soils are found here in the one field, both the prepared and the unprepared soil, found in the one field. Now, what is this field here symbolizing to us? Well, it can be the world, yes. These soils are found throughout the world, prepared and unprepared soil. Or it can be the great field of the church. And I think that is what is being taught here. Because where is the seed sown? Where is the word preached? It is preached in the church. And where do people subject themselves or sit themselves under the word of God? In the church. Now, I say this for us to prick our ears up a bit. This word is being preached unto us. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to really examine our hearts here. What soil is my heart made of? Is the soil hard in my heart? Is it rocky? Is it thorny? Or is it good soil? Well, let us consider the soils. Firstly, we have this hard soil. We have it in verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And then we have the explanation of Christ in verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Hard soil. What's being conveyed to us here is a well-trodden down path. And we all know what a well-trodden down path looks like and feels like under our feet. No matter the conditions of the weather, the ground in a well-trodden path remains firm and hard. It's like concrete, isn't it? It can't be penetrated. Soil packed down so hard that the seed can't in any way penetrate this soil. Therefore, the seed is left exposed to the elements. It is left exposed to those that come and take it. What do we have here? Here we have a hearer who places themselves under the preached word, like ourselves, but yet with no interest in the preached word. That's a fearful thought, isn't it? Their attendance is found in the interest of something else, and not in the receiving of that which is being preached unto them. Such hearers, we could say, they are not interested in the slightest in what they are hearing. Why bother sitting under the sound of the word? It is an attitude of complete indifference. Indifference to why they are there. Indifference to that which is being preached. By their hearing of the word, they do not acquire any intellectual understanding or saving understanding of the word that is preached. Now this, then, is of their own doing. You know, our tendency is to feel sorry for the one who has the word stolen away from them by the devil. And it is right that we are sorry for the state in which sinners find themselves in. And we ought to have a love for sinners in that they would hear and receive the word of truth. But here in this hearer, it is their own fault that the word is stolen by the devil. Think of Genesis 15:11. And what did Abram do to the fowls that came down upon the carcasses? He chased the fowls away. He chased them away from the carcasses. And this is what the hearer ought to do. The hearer ought to do the same. But hard-heartedness, indifference, prevents them from chasing away the fowl. Old Satan, what does he do? He comes and he steals the word. No more effect upon them than water upon a stone. Sorry and miserable state of the hard soil. But there is a second soil here, which is the stony ground. We have this in verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And then we have that explained for us in verse 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, such a contrast here from the first soil, in that there is a display of initial enthusiasm in the receiving of the word. There is a show of great promise. We are all glad when we see such a reception of the word of God. And they receive it with gladness. But there is something wrong. There is no root. One writer says they continue to serve themselves and not God. Their interest continues to be in themselves and not God's kingdom. To be assured that God is going to help them in difficulty and times of trouble, they receive the word with gladness, and it is like a sticking plaster, that a band-aid to cover the sore. In times of difficulty, they can dip in and out of that which they profess. They go along joyfully until real oppression and real affliction comes. Now, what does this expose in our day? Well, it exposes the dangers of easy believism and the health and wealth gospel. Now, we have this gospel that goes forth today, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all is going to be well. Everything is going to be rosy in the garden. You're going to have good health You receive this by faith. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to receive all temporal and outward blessings. Dear friends, such teaching only produces shallow professors who are in it only for what they can get out of it for themselves. Now, the problem isn't the sun. We see that the sun scorches in verse 6. The sun is only doing that which it has been providentially set in the sky to do. But the problem is that there is no root. They have heard, they have received with gladness, but it is only temporary. Temporary impressions. Great heights may be reached in religious feelings and yet be void of substance. You know, these things help us, don't they, to examine our hearts. But there is a third ground, and it is thorny ground. We read of that in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. While the former hearer yielded to distress and persecution, this hearer is rendered fruitless. By what? By the cares and pleasures of this world. Verse 19, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusting of other things. You know, when anxieties and fears and other interests flood in to this hearer, the word is choked out. Now, don't get me wrong. There can be anxieties in the Christian life, yes. There can be fears in the Christian life, yes, and other interests. But we ultimately, who believe in such times, turn to Christ, flee to Christ. But not this hearer. This hearer has the word choked out, has the word stifled. They are deprived of life by a degree of pressure. Now, what's being conveyed to us here is they are strangled completely. They are squeezed together like two hands of thorns, squeezing the word, squeezing those who have received it on thorny ground. A delusive hope and fanciful enjoyment, as J.A. Alexander says. This is thorny ground, hearer. But there are those who are described as the good soil. Those who hear the word, verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit. And verse 20, we read that fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The plainness of this teaching now is evident for us all, isn't it? This soil receives the word, and the result is in plain sight for us all to see. What is the result? Produce. That is the result. Fruitfulness. Christ is truly loved, truly trusted in, truly followed, truly obeyed. He is received as he is freely offered in the gospel of the kingdom. This is the mark. This is the fruit. None other produced it. None other soil brought forth such fruit like this. This was abundant fruit. To be without such fruit, dear friends, is to be on the path to hell. No matter if we sit under the sound of this word or not, it is how we receive it. This hearer is best seen in contrast with the others. Think of the first hearer, the hard soil. Well, in contrast to the hard soil, the good soil is an earnest desire to hear the word. And then we have also the stony ground. In contrast to the stony ground, this hearer, rather filled with joy, is filled with grief and godly sorrow over their sin. And it is when they see themselves and their need of Christ, and then their sins forgiven, is when they have joy. Thirdly, in contrast to the thorny ground, good soil sets its heart on the kingdom and using all that they have in the service of God. This soil was prepared by grace. And this is the wonderful thing, dear friends. The soil was prepared to receive the word. The gracious operation of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of Christ upon those who rightly receive his truth. But the question still stands. How then do we receive the word of God? Well, thirdly and finally, the sufficiency of the seed. The sufficiency of the seed. We had the sower in the seed. We had the soil in the seed. Now the sufficiency of the seed. And we must state categorically that there is no want or deficiency in the seed of the kingdom. The seed that is cast on all of these four grounds is from the same bag. It is the same seed from the same bag. It is the same hand that sows this seed. The word of God in the hand of Christ is the vehicle of his power and grace in the lives of his people. There is no deficiency in the seed, in the word. The word of God, dear friends, is sufficient. So where is the deficiency found? The deficiency is found in the hearer. And what do we have recorded in the creation account? What do we know of the account of creation? Well, John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The word, the divine logos, was present at creation. And Hebrews 11 and 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And then we read in Hebrews 1:3 that Christ is upholding all things by the word of his power. Therefore, there is no deficiency in the word of God. The word of God is perfect to the converting of the soul. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. In this parable, Christ instructs us that the word he speaks and all that are spoken in his name, the preached word, is the seed of the kingdom. Dear friends, even over this means this evening, the seed is being sown, is being cast. Herein lies the power and sufficiency of the seed. We read of it in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There is no deficiency in the word, whether it be a savour of life unto life, or a savour of death unto death. Therefore, are we not bemused at its neglect today? You know, there is nothing new with this neglect of the word of God. We read of the New Testament church in Acts 12 and 24. We read that the word of God grew and multiplied. And the word of God went out into Samaria and into all the nations of the world. And then we had the ascendancy of Rome. And the word of God was put into a dark box, and the sacraments of the church were promoted, and the church was promoted. And then what happened at the Reformation? What was discovered? It was the rediscovery of the Word of God. And primarily, what was discovered was the primacy of preaching, the preached word, and the light of the gospel once again went throughout the whole earth. This is exactly what we need today. We need the word of God preached by whatever means. The word and spirit are sufficient. We need nothing else, dear friends, in the bringing of the kingdom of God. The seed is sufficient even today, because it is the appointed means of the sower who sows with authority and power, the head and king of the church, Jesus Christ. The foolishness of preaching. You know, the world looks on with disdain at the act of preaching. It's foolishness to the world. But it is the wisdom of God unto salvation. So the deficiency is not in the word. The deficiency is in those who hear. Dear friends, the question is now becoming more pointed, isn't it? As we, each of us, examine our hearts. How many sermons have we heard? How often has the word been preached unto us? And the question still remains, how do you receive the word of God? The warning for us here is that there were four soils. Three soils wrongly heard and received the word, and only one rightly heard and received the word. In receiving the word this evening, what do we show ourselves to be? Do we show ourselves to be those whose hearts are of good soil? Do we bring forth fruit meet for repentance? Do we bring forth a love to Christ in the receiving of the word of Christ? May the Lord help us by his Spirit to examine our own hearts in the hearing of this, his own word, to the glory of his own name. Let us pray.